And now, lights out.
Arch Oblers plays. Stories of the unusual.
Well, this is Arch Obler. You know, maybe a play like a good wine ages gracefully in the barrel. Now, I wrote the play you're about to hear long before the race for space began. And when I reread it the other day, I decided I'd better bring it to you.
A rocket is returning from the first successful trip to the moon. Listen to Arch Obler's Rocket from Manhattan.
Hey, Doc, how about joining us?
Yes, Doctor. Don't you think it's about time we had a little celebration?
There's a great deal of work to be done.
The work's over, Doctor. 24 hours more and we're back.
Yes, Doctor, we'll be back. We've done it. Completed.
In 24 hours?
Yeah, look, if you're worried about our landing, I'm not. Are you, Reynolds?
No, sir. Everything's in perfect order.
My congratulations, Reynolds.
Thank you, Major. Thank you. Put the medal on my other chest.
Well, you men, listen to me. We're 48,000 miles from the Earth.
And headed right for it.
We're not there yet.
Doc, pardon the expression, but you're a gloomy Joe.
I am a realist.
But everything is going like clockwork. Look at the gauges.
But we are out of radio contact with the Earth.
Yes, sir, but we are on course. Dr. Chamberlain, what is wrong?
How old were you, Major, when the Second World War ended?
Oh, about five. What's that got to do with it?
Reynolds, you weren't even born.
No, sir.
I was 21 on that day in New Mexico when they set off the first chain reaction. 21.
Doc, you mean to say you were in at the beginning of it?
Of course he was. Dr. Chamberlain was one of the original research men on the atomic bomb project back in 45. The only one of them alive today.
Well, what do you know?
So that's why you wanted to make this trip, Doc. I mean...
Yes, Major. You wanted it as a substitution for what you missed as a boy. The excitement and glory of war.
Oh, not
that. And Reynolds here is young and idealistic, and the scientific wonder of it was what he wanted. And I was there at the birth of an era. Now atomic power is driving me into space, back to the Earth, where it all began. And I'm thinking...
Yeah, Doc?
It's not pertinent to any of this. We have no time to discuss our emotions. There's work to be done.
Airspeed 23486.
Airspeed 23486.
Interior temperature 68.2.
Interior temperature 68.2.
Well, that's it.
Yes.
Any radio contact, Reynolds?
No, sir.
Well, how about that, Doc?
It's unfortunate, but not very vital. We're definitely on course.
How much longer will it be, sir?
Oh, 10 hours. At the most, 10 hours. Reynolds, you'd better get back to your radio. Try phone contact.
Yes, sir.
Major, check the jet temperatures.
Right jet, 1580.
Right jet, 1580.
Left jet, 1583.
Left jet, 1583.
Speed, 24832.
Speed, 24832.
R1 calling CQ. R1 calling CQ. Hello, hello, hello. R1 calling CQ. Hello, hello, hello.
Any luck?
No, sir.
Put your transmitter back on automatic.
Yes, sir.
Why do you laugh, Major?
Oh, I was just thinking about how many millions of telescopes are turned in our direction, the big eye.
Yes.
What you said a few hours ago, I mean, about my wanting the excitement and adventure, that's true, you know. I'm almost 40, and I guess I've just lived for this chance. If the Air Force hadn't okayed my going, well... Here I am. Once we land, I'll admit frankly, I'm going to cash in on every bit of it and have myself a time.
You've been wondering, undoubtedly, why ever since we left the moon I've been acting strangely.
That's right.
I've never believed in predestination. And yet there has been a sort of motivation of fate in my life. At 21, I was part of that research team trying to adapt atomic power to military purposes. When that first bomb went off over the New Mexico desert, a newspaper man repeated the words, "What hath God wrought?" No one quite knew. I've been waiting many years for the answer. I think I found it a few hours ago on the moon. And it's an answer full of horror.
Major Schuh's sleepy.
Yes.
It's only a few more hours, isn't it?
Yes.
Doctor, may I ask you something?
Yes.
Before, you spoke of finding an answer on the moon, and then you didn't say any more. I've been thinking about it, and I was wondering if it was something that the Major couldn't understand, and that's why you didn't speak of it further.
And now you want to know?
Yes, sir. I haven't lived anywhere as long as you two have, but my life has been built around atomic power. Now, all of a sudden, the way you spoke before, as if all our research has been criminal. Do you mean that?
Collision radar!
Get out of it.
What's the matter?
Object approaching.
Where? 15 degrees west. Where it is?
Meteorite. It's a meteorite.
That was the closest.
Oh, it was indeed.
It would be sardonic indeed to collide with a meteorite at this point in our journey.
I'd use a stronger word than sardonic, Doctor.
Yeah, like fatal.
It's all clear.
Well, I'd better get back to my...
No, Reynolds. You asked me a question before, and I want to answer it. Me too, Major Russell. I want you to hear this.
I'm sure.
Reynolds overheard what I said to you, that I had found the answer to a very old question on the moon. He said he felt that somehow I thought all of the research on atomic power had been criminal. No, young man, I don't believe that. Not at all. Criminal to know more by way of nature? No. The answer I found was something else. Oh, I haven't even an answer, perhaps only your theory. When we came within 100 miles of the moon and then began to deaccelerate, turn back, what did we see through the observation ports?
Well, Doc, we saw...
No, please. Let me tell you what I saw. The craters of the moon. Great, gigantic craters. And as we came closer and closer, the look of them was so familiar. Well, not because I had seen them through telescopes and in photographs, but for some other reason that I couldn't quite understand. Craters of the moon. And suddenly, at the very moment when we had come as close as we dared and our ship swung into an orbit to return, suddenly I knew. It was a memory of another crater I had seen many years before in New Mexico from an observation plane high over the ground a few hours after the first atomic bomb had lit the sky with a new sun. The crater in the crust of the Earth that bomb had left was the same as the craters of the moon. Do you understand? The crater our bomb had left on the Earth was the same as the craters on the moon.
Well, so what? I don't get it.
Yes, Doctor, what are you getting at? The crater in that desert was a thousandth of the size of the ones you're talking about.
I suddenly began to think, was it not possible that the moon had gone through the same evolutionary processes as our Earth, before our Earth? Yes, was it not possible that men had come into being on the moon, developed their own civilization, had known scientific progress even as we have, but long before we Earthmen had known it?
Hey, Doc.
You do understand? These men of the moon had discovered the secret of atomic power long before we did, and then had used it to blast and to tear each other. Yes, in the craters on the moon, that terrible devastation was the record of the destruction of their civilization, a final war which had burned up the very atmosphere and left the moon a dead planet circling endlessly through an airless sky.
All right, Doctor, presuming your theory is correct that the moon men had started through a war, a keen atomic reaction that they couldn't stop, what of it? It indicates that they were fools.
Yeah, that's it. Fools. Are we any wiser? Reynolds, would you help me with this port covering?
Yes, sir.
Can you take a look, huh?
Yeah, that's it. There she is.
Mama,
Reynolds, the cameras.
Yes, sir. How much should I run, Doctor?
Put it on automatic exposure.
Yes, sir. 6 more hours, eh, Doc?
Not unless.
Sure we haven't made a mistake and had it for Venus?
What are you saying?
I'm sorry. Just a bad joke, Doc. There's no two ways about it. The outline of the continent. We can't make any mistake about that being our home address.
I wonder how much they can see of us.
Major.
What?
Look down, look.
Hmm? What? I don't see anything.
Look, I tell you. Reynolds, come here.
What's the matter? Something wrong?
Well, the doctor said...
Reynolds, look. You see?
Yes. What is it? I see it, too. Bright lights going on and off.
Doctor,
are they signaling us?
Are they signaling?
At 6,000 miles? Why? Why should they?
Well, that's right. There's no such plan.
Well, look at it. It is lights going on and off.
Look, but they're all from one area. Can you make out where?
North America. And they are signals. The candle in the window.
At 6,000 miles.
Wait a minute. Are they explosions?
Explosions?
Major, doctor, is that it? Are they explosions?
I don't know.
We pause in our trip from the moon for a short message. And now, back to Arch Obler's amazing story of The Rocket from Manhattan.
CQ, hello. CQ.
I'm sorry, Doctor, I can't raise anyone.
Doc, come here.
Yes, what is it?
Look, the closer we get, they are explosions.
3 more hours, we'll know.
I want to know now. Reynolds, what's the matter with you? Why can't you make radio contact?
I'm doing everything I can.
Major.
Doc, what?
Craters, look. Craters.
Is this androgen? You couldn't
have to reach flash. I do see them.
Okay. What does it mean? Well, what are you looking at me like that for? What,
Doc? Major, something's coming through.
What?
I can only hear it faintly.
But what is it?
Please let me listen.
Reynolds, what is it?
Well, tell us.
The voice, I couldn't quite make out who. They said, some what?
Tell us.
War.
Oh.
He said war. Blasting the United States off the face of the earth. It's a joke, isn't it? This is it. An hour ago, no warning. Point of origin unknown. It stopped again, the transmission.
It's enough. Doctor, did you hear? It was an attack without warning. Without warning.
The explosions are increasing in frequency.
Reynolds, is there any more coming through?
No, nothing. Yes, they started transmission again.
Let's have it, quick.
It's some station in the Midwest. I can't get the call.
Who cares?
He said, it's hell. Ground shaking. No bombs landed near, but air reconnaissance. It's a garbage. I can hardly make it out.
Well,
it started an hour ago. Everything burning. It stopped again as nothing.
Doctor, in heaven's name, what do you think it's all about?
Stop staring out of the window and talk to me.
What are they doing?
What do you mean, what are they doing? They're bombing us, blasting us. It's war. Then what? What else?
It's no use. There's no transmission.
Doctor, those bombs, where are they coming from? Can't you tell by the trajectory?
At this distance. And what difference does the face of the enemy make? It's happening, that's all.
Smash them. I always said we should have smashed them, exterminated them 50 years ago.
They were so peaceful. For so many years.
The flashes are increasing in frequency.
Reynolds, get on that radio.
I'll try again.
The devils. We had agreements with everybody. Devils, all of them. Reynolds, do you get anything?
No, I don't.
Doctor, faster. Let's get down there faster. Let's open it up.
Better than that. We're entering the atmosphere. Increased speed, we'd burn up like a meteor.
But I'm an army man. All my life I've been coming through. Doc, what?
The bomb? Nothing can... I can hardly make it out.
Keep at it.
Panic. Paratrooper.
Who?
Last message from United States of...
It's ended. There is no more.
500 more miles.
Look at it down there. Our Air Force, protective measures. What's happened to them?
What happened?
Doctor, you. Why don't you say something? You just sit there for hours watching. This isn't a scientific experiment going on down there. They're blasting us to pieces. Us! Us! Your atomic bomb, the greatest secret. Hold it over the world and have peace forever. You said that. Yeah, you. I was a kid then. I heard you. I heard you say over the radio when I gave you a medal. Hold it over the world and have peace forever. Well, what have you got to say now?
We've had some wonderful years since then.
What?
Everybody had a wonderful time.
Reynolds, what's the matter with him? No, no, no. Let him finish.
First, we hung the war criminals. And as soon as their bodies stopped swinging, we left the crowd and each went back to his own house and shut the door.
You said the peace would hold forever.
I said it because I thought that when the secret was put away, the people of the world would remember the terror. I forgot what the years could do. I forgot how quickly forgetfulness comes. I forgot that in only a few years, Hiroshima and Nagasaki would be only yesterday's sensations for a nation eager for sensations for today. You keep asking who is sending those bombs against us. Who? I tell you, we're sending them against ourselves. Yes, because had we made our way of life something more than a confused dream of shiny machines and happy endings, those bombs of hatred and revenge could not be flying at us. I said the peace would hold forever because I thought that out of that war, at last men had learned that there was no defense against hatred and revenge but the unity of human beings. It was a race, gentlemen, against time. And we wasted our last 55 years running backwards on a track of chromium and plastics. So we've lost. Forever.
No, we've never lost.
Look, the blasts. They're increasing in frequency. There's nothing left, nothing.
Just got someplace else. We'll start it. Look, the color of the blast.
Dear God.
What? What? Doctor, it's nitrogen, isn't it?
Nitrogen. The fools, the everlasting fools, I warned them.
The blasts, more and more.
They started something they couldn't end. The color of the blasts. They've set off hydrogen atoms.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
We used uranium, plutonium, and when the initial blast was over, that was all. But hydrogen, that's a part of life. One reaction sets off the other, like setting off an endless chain until... Look down there.
The blast. Faster and faster.
And spreading. The fools. God help the fools.
This is it. This happened.
A sheet of flame. Around the earth.
Doctor, tell me. What is it? Tell me.
It burned up all the atmosphere.
Burned up? Burned up. What do you mean? The chain reaction. Burn up all the air.
Oh, my God.
Major, the left jet.
Yeah. It's all right.
All right. Where are we? Can we get in there?
There's no air. No life. The moon, the earth, the same.
Oh, how much fuel?
There's the gauge.
2-3 hours?
I think that's right. Isn't it, Major?
What will we do?
You ask that question now. The Major no longer asks it. You know the answer, Major?
Yeah, sure. We'll crash.
It'll be all right, boy. My words again. Have peace forever.
African continent was crossed and double-crossed, and I went on a midnight lion hunt. It was as a result of this nocturnal safari that I wrote a new play that I'll tell you about after a short message.
burglary game. First, I'd like to thank our actors for tonight, Barney Phillips, Bill Phipps, and Jane Avello. Sound Bob Tollison, engineer Dave Diller, music Joe Leahy, and announcer Byron Kane. About our next broadcast, a man goes on a deadly safari. So join me next for African Story.
Arch Obler's Plays. Stories of the unusual. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
James Hilton will return to tell you about next week's story. Meantime, I'd like to remind you that there's nothing like one of those colorful Hallmark dolls from the land of make-believe to make a child's eyes light up with joy. There are 16 dolls in all, including Little Miss Muffet, Cinderella, Little Boy Blue, and other childhood favorites. Each one wears a hat topped off by a jaunty plume that's a real feather. Each doll stands up by itself, and each one has a clever rhyme story about the doll inside. Children really love them. You couldn't ask for nicer favors or more appropriate place cards than these unique Hallmark dolls. And these colorful, feather-hatted Hallmark dolls are just as grand for children who live far away from you as for those in your own home. Hallmark dolls, you see, are just as easy to send as any Hallmark greeting card. And they cost only 25 cents each. See all 16 of the charming and colorful Hallmark dolls tomorrow at the store where you buy your Hallmark greeting cards. Now here again is James Hilton.
After that performance, Ronald Coleman, it doesn't surprise me at all that you won the Academy Award last year. And for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards, I would like to thank you for giving us such a memorable evening.
Well, the pleasure was mine, and I think you know Chips has always been one of my favorite characters. You're lucky, Jimmy, to be able to present each week the best in literature, working with such nice people as those of Hallmark, who bring added pleasure to so many listeners at home.
Yes, and like our Hallmark friends, we hope the program contributes a great deal to the happiness of many. And just as the doors of the Hallmark Playhouse are always open to you, Ronnie, I hope your doors will be open to us next week when we bring you Captain January, starring Lionel Barrymore and Luana Patton. And so, until next Thursday, this is James Hilton saying good night.
Tonight's story was adapted for radio by Lynn Murray. With music composed and conducted by Lynn Murray, rather, the adaptation by Gene Holloway, our director producer is Dee Engelbach. Look for Hallmark cards that are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember Hallmark cards when you care enough to send the very best. Next week, James Hilton returns to present Captain January, starring Lionel Barrymore and Luana Patton. This program came to you from the Hallmark Playhouse. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.